Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the Parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So, if you've never been to the Parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
So we're continuing on. It's so important that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've probably heard that, maybe even a growing relationship with Jesus. But for many of us, we don't really know what that means. We just kind of stop at that phrase and say, that sounds great, but what does it actually mean? How do we actually do this? And last week we started by saying that relationships always have a destination. Any relationship in your life is going to have a destination. It's going to be moving somewhere. It's not just aimless. It doesn't just wander around. And so in the life of our church, we experienced a really cool moment this week. Some of you know this and many of you don't, but our friends Evan and Grace got engaged this week. Isn't that awesome? So Evan and Grace are over with our elementary and middle schoolers. In fact, Grace right now is leading our K through second graders, which I heard there were 25 of them today. So she and her two friends back there are wrangling 25 K through second graders. But we love these guys. Their relationship now has a destination. Praise the Lord. Like it's going to happen. The marriage is going to happen. And we're so excited about it. But here's the important thing. The reason I'm so excited about this, the reason I want to celebrate like crazy with them today is not just because of their destination, but it's because relationships also always have a story. Always. And I know Evan and Grace's story. And some of you know Evan and Grace's story. And it's been a crazy story. It started with meeting with a group of guys in one of these back rooms and hearing Evan say, hey, I met a girl this summer. And we went, okay, well, tell us more about that. And then it's been through highs and lows and all kinds of crazy twists and turns, amazing moments and difficult moments. And now we've come to a place where we know their destination. And your story in your relationship with Jesus is the exact same way. There is a story, there is a pattern, there is a flow to each one of our relationships with Jesus. And it's really important that we start to dig into that and try and figure out what that's really about. Last week, we asked the question, where are we going? What is that destination? And the answer to that question we discovered was loving union with God. That's the goal. It's not just gaining more information. So if you get frustrated because people always say the answer is just to learn more, that's not the be-all, end-all answer for our relationship with Jesus. It's loving union with God, completely being overtaken and overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. And if that's our destination, then today's question is really important. The question is just, how do we get there? Loving union with God is a great idea. It seems a little bit far-fetched. It seems a little bit difficult to get our heads around. So how do we get there? And I think, personally, that the answer to this question is found in romantic comedies. Okay, I'm serious. Romantic comedy movies. I lost my man card a long time ago, okay? But I'm gonna play it again. I love romantic comedies. My wife does not like them, and I love them. I grew up watching Sandra Bullock movies for some reason and just loved them. So, but any romantic comedy, whether it is, you know, You've Got Mail or any Sandra Bullock movie or any Adam Sandler romantic comedy, they all have the same basic pattern. You take two people that don't make any sense together, and you put them in close proximity and walk with them through the ups and downs of that journey, and it ends in loving union. Have you seen this? That's it. So take two oddball people, put them together, make them do some crazy things, and they end up at the altar at the end of the romantic comedy. And I think the reason why that works and the reason why that kind of lands in our hearts is not, you know, some crazy deep biblical reason, but I think God has designed us to understand and experience that same pattern in our relationship with him. That loving union takes time. Love, as we know, takes time and it changes. It goes through progressions as we move closer to loving union. And as it turns out, Jesus' followers have been asking this question for centuries, from the very, very beginning. This whole journey started with a question. We saw it today in that passage that Lindsay read. The people that wanted to follow Jesus just said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you staying? Just a really simple question. How do we begin to know a little bit more about you? And then it continued on from there. The church fathers in the first few centuries after Jesus walked the earth were very detailed in their methods of training people in the faith. It wasn't just come one, come all. You want to be in? Great, that's awesome. Before you could get baptized, before you could take communion, you went through months and months and months and sometimes years of training. They used to call it catechesis. So before they would ever admit you into the body of Christ, you had to go through this intensive training process because they knew there were some things that you needed to learn and there were some things in life that needed to shift and practices and habits that needed to change. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross were amazing saints of the church in the 1500s, and they wrote some incredible things about what this process looks like. So throughout the centuries, we've been trying to figure this out. And then more recently, A.B. Bruce wrote a book called The Training of the Twelve in 1871 that's really helpful to understand this as well. And then there's some more recent stuff that we've been learning in American church context. Like, for instance, Willow Creek Community Church released this amazing survey with lots of information of how people grow in their relationship with Jesus. There's a great book by Thomas Ashbrook called Mansions of the Heart. If you're interested in this and you want to dig in and learn a little bit more, I highly recommend it to you. So I could geek out. Okay, I'm a statistics nerd. Like, I could geek out and tell you statistics and go through all this stuff, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, so non-geeks in the room, you can relax a little bit. I'm going to boil all this stuff down and pull it together along with scripture and what God has shown us in his word. And we'll start to notice what happens in our relationship with Jesus. There's three really important things from all the history of studying this, from all the truths of God's word. We see three important things. First, spiritual growth happens in stages. It happens in stages. There are some repeatable, understandable stages that we walk through in growing closer to Jesus. It's not immediate, okay? You don't become a follower of Jesus and then immediately walk straight into glory, just being exactly the way that God designed you to be. It's also not random. There's not just this random process that's completely happenstance. We can see some patterns between different people as we walk through this. And then finally, there's no silver bullet. If you ever play Candyland, I play Candyland with my kids a lot, and there's that one magical, I think it's the popsicle card, that when you get the popsicle card, you skip all the way to the end, and immediately my kids start bawling, crying, like, Dad, you can't win this game, I'm gonna lose. There's no popsicle card in this journey, okay? There is no skip to the end moment. You can't skip ahead. You have to walk through these stages one at a time. We all go through it together. So spiritual growth happens in stages, but spiritual growth is not linear. Spiritual growth doesn't just look like this magic escalator that moves us up from glory to glory to glory until one day we are the absolutely perfect husband or perfect wife and perfect father or perfect mother, and we just become enveloped into heaven with Jesus. That's not how it goes. It's a mess. There's stages that we walk through, but we move forward and we fall back and we kind of move around in a stage for a while, and then Jesus draws us forward, and then we find ourselves kind of sliding back for a little while. It's not a linear progression. And then finally, people that are in different stages need different things. And this is really, really important. In fact, this has been one of the most liberating things for me as I've studied this and as I've prayed through this with the Lord. People that are in different stages need different things. It's not a one-size-fits-all process. I've said this before, but a friend of mine said that preaching is like trying to fit 100 people into the same pair of shoes. It doesn't work the same way for every single person. And so if you ever come to a worship service and you go, that didn't feel like it connected with me. Or if you're in a small group environment or a Bible study and you go, I feel like everybody else in the room understands this but me, then take heart. Because chances are it means that there are people in different stages and certain things will connect with you and help you move better than others. And as we walk through this, we're going to learn more about that together. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to give you a very simple framework that we as a church are going to use to help describe this process. It's four little blocks. You kind of move through them in this little journey. And trust me, you're not going to open your Bible to like 3 John and see these four blocks there, okay? It's not something that's written in the pages of scripture. You can challenge it. You can poke holes in it. I think it's great. It's just a tool to help us understand some deeper truths about our journey with Jesus. And the reasons why we're doing this, first of all, is to encourage us, to encourage you that no matter what your story is, whether you're frustrated or you feel like you're stuck or you feel like you're not growing any closer to Jesus, this is not about judgment. This is not about trying to divide us. We're not going to write the name of our stage on our name tags every week so that we can like pair up and like group up in the corners of the room. That's not what this is about. What this is about is encouraging you that wherever you are, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And the Lord wants to meet you there, and he has a plan for you to move forward. You're not out of luck. You're not strange. You're not weird. We're all gloriously weird, but we're all on this journey together. I want it to encourage us, and my hope is that it'll help us all find a next step. That once we know where we're headed with loving union with God, and once we know where we are, which stage in this journey we're currently living in, then we can begin following Jesus and taking small steps forward. The first stage in this process, the way that we've described it, the first stage in this process is the looking stage. Looking. Begin at the beginning, right? This is where we're going to start. In the looking stage, every single one of us has been there. Everybody in this room, I can guarantee you, if you're sitting in this room, you've been or you are in this stage. In the gospel passage that we read, we see this. Jesus tells these men that are interested in him, hey, come and you will see. Come and you will see. Not come and you'll believe. Not come and get these things right. Not come and change these areas of your life. No, just come and you will see. He doesn't invite them to skip all the way to the end of their lives. He doesn't say, come and you will die for me. Come and you will be crucified. No, he says, come and see. That's the first stage of the journey. In the looking stage, every relationship starts with simply kind of looking out at someone else and saying, what is this person all about? We're going about our normal lives. We're doing everything as we've normally been taught to do them. And then we hear a voice or we see something happen or we come across someone who lives differently, or there's a circumstance in our life that shakes us up, and we become intrigued with the person of Jesus. And we say, who is that? What is Jesus really all about? And we could have heard about Jesus our entire lives, and then all of a sudden, we stop and we go, who is this person really? Now, in this stage, in the looking stage, there's no commitment. There's no change necessary. It's not that we're called to some kind of radical change in our lives. We can observe from a distance and in a safe place begin finding out who Jesus is and what following him is all about. And so in this stage, I'm going to give you a few little indicators. And my thought here is, and my prayer is that as we go through these stages, that you'd be able to pray about this and say, is this where I am? And there's plenty of us in this room that are in this stage right now, and that's great. It's a good thing that you're here, and it's a good thing that this is where you are. If you're in the looking stage, for you, Jesus is an intriguing stranger. Jesus is somebody that's kind of on the outside. You've heard about him. Maybe you've heard a lot about him. You grew up in the church, and you have lots of preconceived notions about who Jesus is. But in reality, if you're really honest with yourself, Jesus is just kind of a stranger. God is cool. We're okay with God. For most people in the looking stage, we believe in God. But Jesus is somebody that we kind of wrestle with. I don't really understand who this guy is all about. One way that's really helpful to help us know which stage we're in is prayer. The way that we pray is one of the best indicators of which stage we're falling in. And in this stage, prayer is a strange thought, something that may terrify you or just goes, we're just talking to the air, like this is bizarre, what is this about? Or it could be a cultural habit, like at our dinner table when each child has to say their own version of the blessing song that they've learned from their class. It could just be a cultural habit, something that you do just out of reaction because you saw it happen growing up. But prayer is just kind of a foreign concept for you. And then finally, in this stage, we find ourselves being drawn to community events, to places where we can engage in relationships, and maybe even to Sunday worship. Maybe we're even drawn into this room saying, there's something there I want to learn more about, but I would like to keep it at a distance and just kind of observe from the outside. Now, first things first, if this is the stage that you're in, I want to celebrate that today and again say that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. This is not a bad thing. This is not a place where we're just going to kick you in the pants and say, get a move on. No, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And at any age and stage of life, that could be true. The looking stage is not just for kids or for teenagers. The looking stage could be for those of us that have been in the church for 40 years, 50 years. And we've experienced a lot of life behind us. And then all of a sudden we get to a place where we go, I don't know that I really know who Jesus is. If that's you, then embrace it and be thankful that that's the stage that you're in today. And then at some point, for many of us in the room, we took a step forward. And we moved out of the looking stage into a stage that we're calling the learning stage. And in the learning stage, we make a simple decision to follow. We cross over a line of faith. And all of a sudden, something gets put on the line for us. The passage in Hebrews that we read helps us understand this stage. The author of Hebrews is addressing this church and saying that many of the people there are babies, still babies in their relationship with Jesus. And when we cross that line from the looking to the learning stage, we're all babies. And if you've been around a baby or you've experienced life with a baby, they learn everything. Brains are just a sponge. You're soaking everything you can up. Even the tiniest little details are being absorbed into the brain of a small child. And that's the way that we arrive to the learning stage as well. It starts with this broad sweep and progression. It begins with the question of who is Jesus? And we start asking, who is God? Who is Jesus? What is this all about? We start learning things. We start reading a Bible for the first time. We start hearing truth about God for the very first time. And we just start, just like a baby, just compiling information, just like a toddler learning to walk. We're trying to put these pieces together. And then we go through a process where not only do we learn about God, but we learn about who we are. We start wrestling with who we are and the way that we're made and what is the fallenness and the sinfulness in our own hearts. And what are the depths? Some of those things are scary and we don't want to go through that process, but we walk slowly through this process of learning who we are. And then we start learning how to bring those two things together. How do we take our lives and help them match up to what we know to be true about God? And for some of us, this is a really long process. For some of us, it's a really, really difficult process. It may involve specific recovery groups like AA groups or counseling groups or things that are so helpful to us to begin to learn who God is and who we are and what are the practices that we can learn to begin bringing those two things in alignment. The Bible becomes a really, really critical thing for us during the learning stage. We become people that resemble what we see in Psalm chapter 1 when the psalmist says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season." So we don't start like this in the learning stage. We just begin picking up bits and pieces. But as we move through this stage, we become that tree that's just soaking in everything we can about God. Everything we can learn about God's word, we want to learn it. It's a really, really rich and important stage in our lives. In the learning stage, Jesus to us begins as kind of an acquaintance. Just begins as someone that we're getting to know, someone that we kind of loosely understand. And then maybe Jesus becomes, during this process, a companion. If you've seen the Footprints in the Sand poem that people talk about all the time, that's kind of a perfect depiction of what it means for Jesus to be a companion. He's walking with us. He's carrying us through life. And then maybe Jesus becomes an advisor, and he's helping us learn how to take our marriage and make it conform to his will, how to take our finances and make it match up to his word, how to take the basic truths of our life and make them match up to his word. Prayer for us during this stage, this is really important. Prayer is a way of talking to God. It's a way of expressing things to God. We tell him how we're doing. We tell him how we're feeling. Sometimes we get gut level honest with him. And sometimes we just beg him for help for ourselves, for other people. Passionate prayers. God, I need you. My family needs you. My friends need you. We're always addressing God and sending prayer to him. And then finally, in this stage, we're drawn to things like Bible studies and small groups and accountability relationships, anything we can find that's going to help us learn more about who God is, who we are, and how to make those two things match up. Now, again, the learning stage is a great place to be. And one thing you'll find to be true as you learn more about this is that most churches in America are vastly made up of people in the learning stage. And so chances are, in this room today, at least half of us, I would venture to say more than half of us, are in this stage at some point. We're either brand new in this stage and we're just learning about Jesus, or we've been in this stage for a long time and we're still learning more and more and more about who God is and who we are. And it's a really, really important place to be and a really good place for us to stay. So I'm not going to carry on and tell you the next two stages, because otherwise we'd be here for a long, long time. Last week, we had an incredible lady that was here from Turkey, from Istanbul, and she met me after the service, and the first thing she said was, "Your service is too short." She said, "Our services last 2.5 hours. And I went, "Oh my goodness, people would kill me." All the people that are watching our kids right now, they would quit after one day. So I won't keep you here forever. We're going to learn the next two stages next week. But here's what's important. What we need to know is where we are. We know where the destination is. It's loving union with God. But where are you in this journey? And again, it's not through judgment. It's not because we're trying to size one another up. And if you hear a voice in the back of your mind or in your heart that says, should, I should be farther along. I shouldn't be in this stage. I shouldn't still be looking. I shouldn't still be learning. Reject that. That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's a voice of judgment. Because wherever you are is exactly where you're supposed to be. And the Lord wants to meet you there and help you find a way to take a step forward. So I want to invite you for just a moment to prayerfully consider this. If you'd bow your heads with me, we're going to take communion in just a moment together. But before we move on, I want us to just prayerfully consider for a moment, is one of these two stages where I am right now? And maybe it's not. Maybe that this hasn't resonated with you and you don't feel like you're quite in one of these two categories yet, and that's okay. But for many of us in this room, for most of us in this room, one of these places is where we are. And the best way I've found to try and determine that is to just ask a simple question and pray through it. Who is Jesus to me? Pray about that for a moment. Who is Jesus to you? And answer it honestly. There's no use in lying about this or trying to pretend or be better than someone else. Who is Jesus to you? Is he kind of like a shadowy, strange figure that you don't know much about? Is he someone that you thought you knew about and then you went to a class in college and everything got blown up and since then you've never been able to put the pieces together? Is Jesus someone that you can't quite get your head around? You're okay with the idea of God, but Jesus just kind of becomes a stumbling block for you? If that's true, then chances are you're in that first stage of the journey. And praise God, that's where you are. Because he wants to meet you there. And he wants to draw you closer to himself through his love. And then maybe for you today, as you're praying through this, who is Jesus to you? Maybe Jesus is closer than that. He's a friend, a companion, someone who's walking with you along the journey. Maybe Jesus is kind of like a schoolmaster to you that's kind of keeping you in line or helping you learn the right things and how to do the right things. Maybe Jesus looks a lot like your earthly father, if you're honest, with all the good and bad that comes with that. And if for you, Jesus is kind of in that category of being someone that we know, but we know somewhat at a distance, as a friend or a companion on the journey, then chances are you're in the learning stage. And praise God, that's where you are, because it's exactly where you need to be. And for some of us in this room, we need to be in that learning stage for a lot longer, because there's a lot more to learn. And there's a lot more that he wants us to experience in our journey with him. And then for some of us, he's drawing us out and calling us to take a step forward into a place that's difficult and requires courage to take a step into the unknown. Lord, as we pray through this and as we try to understand where we are, God, don't let it just be knowledge or information for us. Lord, would you let this sink into our hearts and let us be honest about what place we are in our journey? Not so that we can compare ourselves against anyone else. God, please protect us from that. But help us just to look to you and say, Lord, why am I here? And what's next? And then God, guide us and walk with us through this process as we learn what's next in our journey, in our relationship with you. All these things, God, we want to learn them, to understand them, and we ask for them in your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.